if you like iniquity, you are an enemy of God and you're my enemy. Now, if you know you have iniquity and you want to hate it and you're tired of it, then you ought to go after God with all your heart. But truthfully, workers of iniquity will not be in heaven. And it's very serious. I do not water down the gospel, but I also do walk in the power of God to help you get free. But you are the one who has to want to be free. And if it means you do whatever it takes to quit giving in to iniquity and sin, then you do whatever it takes to quit giving in to iniquity and sin. And quit playing games with God. Because I think the saddest verse in the scripture has the word iniquity in it. The most terrifying verse in scripture is not what happens during Revelation at the judgments. It's not any of those things. The worst thing is when somebody stands before the Lord and says, "Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I basically serve you?" And the Lord looks at them and says, "Away from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you." So don't play games with a powerful God. He does love you. We're not here to judge you, but you need to judge yourself and get real with yourself, because we're not going to throw stones around here. I mean, we got enough testimonies in this place to have a, we could have a combination of sitcom and you know, one of the most, one of those TV shows that shocks everybody. I mean, we have a combination here. People can't believe that this group is so happy because this group has been so hurt. But that's all to God's glory that we've gotten the victory. We are about victory. We are not about people who want to stay defeated. We just don't have time to come in agreement with your pity party. But we have time to see you set free. Pity party wouldn't have helped you, huh, Norm? You know, the one thing, and we'll be talking about this that Thursday, but when I look at Norm, he came in here full of iniquity and full of sin. And God has been setting him free and setting him free. And he went from full-blown AIDS to not even detectable HIV. And the funeral's been canceled. And I'm going to tell you what, I am so glad, because I didn't want to do your funeral. And I'm just encouraging you, you have to go after it, you guys. I didn't just get victory over sorrow and grief because it wasn't hard. I got victory over sorrow and grief because I found a God who was real. Because I found a God that when I didn't understand what was going on and I didn't understand how to get out of it, when my daughter died, I promise you, I stood right there in the yard with her dead body. And I remember thinking, how are you going to fix this? And some of you are right now going, God, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to fix my drinking problem? God, how are you going to fix my alcohol problem? How are you going to fix my abusive situation in my marriage? How are you going to fix my kids running here and there? How are you going to fix that I can't seem to enter into the deep place in God? How are you going to fix? How are you going to fix it, God? How are you going to fix what just happened? How are you going to fix it? You're not supposed to know. I didn't have a clue. And most of you need to get to a point of not knowing, because then you quit trying to do it. And you know, the only way to let it happen is to let it happen. And then God will bring you beauty for ashes. And so tonight, if nothing else, get rid of pity parties, okay? Let's just take up a pity party collection with the offering. And when you put that offering in, just let that pity party go. And tonight, no matter how bound Satan has you, no matter how horrible your childhood was, no matter what, know that the iniquities, the sin that has come through the family line, those things that have attached to you and come after you that seem so unfair, became completely just when Jesus Christ died to set you free from it and give you an awesome, awesome testimony. The worse the junk, the greater the glory to God, when you let him set you free. Okay? Now, let's look at the word iniquity in the New Testament first. Okay? So we're going to look at it in New Testament. Then we're going to look at some patterns in Old Testament. We're going to really see. And I didn't get a chance when I did this morning. I saw some things, but I didn't really get to get into it really good. So some of you, what we may want to try to do, I don't know if we'll have time tonight, but if we break up into groups or even next week, I want you to look at the lines of iniquity that really affect you personally. Like if it's infirmity, whatever scriptures we look at about infirmity, we want to put together a group next week or maybe at the end of tonight. who will only look at where it talks about iniquity with infirmity. She can really go after this enemy. And I wish I could just do one simple prayer and it's gone. But what it is, Satan has you bound with these iniquities. You've bought their lies. You've been participating with them. And so they're not going to go away with a simple prayer. They're going to go away when you know they have to go and when you quit believing them. Okay? I wish we could just do a simple prayer and everything goes away. And I know people act like that happens. I just haven't met any of it since. You have to die to the lie. I mean, I'm talking about you have to completely surrender and get rid of all your coping mechanisms, and then it disappears. But what we do is we just tear it down and tear it down and tear it down until you're able to do that. All right. Let's go to Matthew 7:23 and see what that says. That's the one I think I told you a minute ago. It's the same scripture also in Luke 13:27. I think we should take this very, very serious when God says something like this. I think one of the lies that Satan has is once saved, always saved. Because the Bible's very clear that if you're truly saved, then you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This isn't about condemnation. If you're afraid that you're not going to be able to get free, and this devil tries to bother you with these kind of scriptures, realize that if you want to get free and you continue to fight the fight of faith, you will get free. It's a promise. And I believe if you're really fighting the enemy and you should die in the process, you would go to heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? God's not saying you have to win before you're saved. He's saying you have to hate what he hates and no longer be a partner with iniquity. It doesn't mean that iniquity is not going to come and take over sometimes if you don't get free in the process. There's a big difference between just saying, it's a hypocrite actually to be a Christian and then also be into iniquity and not care that you're in iniquity. That's the difference. Not caring that iniquity has a hold of you. That's when, you're not going to go to heaven. But being real and saying, okay, I know I have iniquity, but I can't seem to beat it. That's when you need to come get help. That's when you need to sit down in a group on Tuesday night and share what's really going on in your life and let people help you find the lies. Because as much as everyone loves to talk to me, I only have but so much time in a day. So I really want to see you going after this in your groups. Because it's lies. They're little lies. We got to one this week. Someone had a lie. And after they talked for a while, I caught on that the lie was they didn't want to be left out. And it happened when they were a little kid. And it came right through their life. And it would cause them to reject. Okay? But we had danced all around that thing. But we never got. But the minute we zeroed in on that exact lie, we could go after it. Then we could bring truth to that. And deal with it. Do you see? So it's very important that you share in these groups and you don't try to over be spiritual more. Just talk until somebody starts saying, oh, that doesn't sound right. And then everybody go at it. And if you haven't, then get the tapes. The groups are for pulling the stuff apart. The groups are for doing what you wish I would sit down and take the time to do with you personally, many of you. And I don't have that kind of time. Okay? That's what I want you to do. And when you put a bunch of people together, if one person misses it, the other person will catch it. They'll say, well, that doesn't sound right. Wait a minute. You're acting like, it wasn't your fault. Or, whatever the thing is, go after the lies. We have to start doing this in the meetings. That's all I want done, really. I don't want chit-chat. I don't want, hey, I had a great day. We have tons of fellowship time in this ministry. I want those who have issues to speak up and let the other people tear those apart. You'll never get free otherwise. Because that stronghold is that lie. I'm not saying you'll never. Hopefully God will just fly through here and we'll all land in the floor in a big pile. And when we all get up, we'll be perfected in Christ. Hallelujah. But until that happens, let's keep working out our salvation with fear and trembling. All right. 22. Matthew 7. Well, you can go up to 17. I don't want to read all of it, but oh man, go up to 13. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. All right, 13. Go in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are the ones entering in through it. For narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are the ones finding it. I'm not making this up. It's in the Word. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they're wolves. From their fruits you shall know them. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Every good tree produces good fruit, Corrupt trees produce evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, you guys, nor a corrupt tree produce good fruit. There's got to come a place in your life where the fruit in your life is good if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, there is the battleground for a while where there's some good and some bad and good, but there has to come to a place of maturity. We want to get there. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Then surely from the fruits you shall know them. You shall know who really knows God based on the fruit. We're not going to get all that. But listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils, in your name do many works of power? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those workers of iniquity. This particular translation says lawlessness. It's wickedness. You can hear it's translated wickedness, lawlessness, and iniquity. Okay? It's the whole backbone of Satan's kingdom. What is happening in your life is either coming from Satan's kingdom or from God's kingdom. There's no in between. Never be satisfied living with the enemy's kingdom ruling in your life. I don't care if it's okay, you can get by. This isn't about you. Hello. This is about Jesus Christ owning you if you're a believer, and he does not want to share you with iniquity and with darkness. All right, let's go to 13:41. Matthew 13:41. This is going to take more than a day, I can tell you. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the offenses and all those who practice lawlessness. They will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears, let them hear. Okay, this is all fun stuff. God is getting us into some end-time revelation here, folks. There is going to come a move of God where the angels are going to get the people who continue to stay in lawlessness and iniquity, and they're going to be separated some way, it doesn't tell us how, from the true church. And God just wants us to be serious. You know, he really wants us to know he's not going to keep winking at sin. Sin is the fruit of lawlessness in your heart. Now, he wouldn't ask you to get rid of something that he didn't already pay the way to get rid of it. You can't get rid of being wicked, okay? You can't get rid of lawlessness. You can't do it. You might hide that it's in there. Eat enough of the good tree, you can hide it, but you can't get rid of it. So we're not asking you to do anything, okay? God is not asking you to do something. That's the lie. So many people feel condemned. They're like, well, I can't be good enough. You are right, you can't. Well, I can't stop doing this. You are right, you can't. But you just need to begin to recognize. So the first thing that God's having us do in this whole thing tonight, and we're going to preach this for a couple weeks, as I can tell, is to make up your mind to hate lawlessness and not claim it as belonging inside of you anymore. You know, the people who goof off the most are really the people who need this the most, and that's what's so sad to me. God has given us a strong message tonight that some people in this room are headed for hell and they don't know it. And they can say, I said a prayer and I'm changed. But being changed from someone who is so actively participating in sin that the prison system has your name versus someone who still agrees that lawlessness is okay or iniquity is okay and you think it's not important to hate it. You have to hate what God hates to get into heaven, okay? It's one thing to be actively involved in sin, smoking, drinking, cussing, sleeping around, whatever. It's one thing to be involved in it while you're actually fighting it and hating it. It's another thing to put your arms around it and think it's okay as long as it doesn't cross but certain lines. You don't understand that God is giving you a warning that you have to choose righteousness or wickedness, that he is going to be forced to put you in a decision place. It's much better to choose yourself. And you don't want to play around and think that Satan can't take you out while you're playing the game. So I just want you to be serious. This thing about iniquity is very serious. People are going to hell this very moment while we speak. Everyone in this room has relatives in hell, burning in flames, worms crawling on them, and everything else horrible because of iniquity. Jesus Christ was beaten and tormented and tasted hell for us because of iniquity, okay? Boy, she's mean. No, it's time somebody preaches something real. If you hate this, okay? If you hate Satan and you hate lawlessness or wickedness or iniquity, then every time it makes you do something that you don't want to do, and maybe you are that bound, you will at least tell it, I hate you. I'm not going to keep serving you. This is difficult. I know you own me right now, or you think you do, but I'm going to be increased in Christ and I'm going to decrease in my flesh, and I'm hating you. If you can't quit smoking, then honestly, every time you put that cigarette to your mouth with all sincerity of heart, you should declare, God, forgive me. I hate that this stupid devil is still ruling in me. And smoke it, but then as soon as you pull out that puff, say, God, I hate this because I choose to hate it. Now set me free. If you cuss, the minute it comes out of your mouth, you should fall down before God and say, forgive me, God. I know there's iniquity working in me. You'll see a lot. It has to do with what you say. You see what I'm saying? And nobody's judging you. Some of you come from lines of iniquity, and some of us were protected. Because that's the way it works with God. And you know the inheritance I want to give my kids? I want to give my kids the protection of blessing because their mom served God. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm glad my kids aren't in trouble all the time. Hallelujah. Because I've been walking with God and I've been declaring it and I've been protecting them by the leading of His Spirit and doing inner healings and deliverances. And I am thankful that that's the way I wish that the Lord had, I had been able to be raised. In a lot of ways, I was. I'm thankful. You need to thank God for any godly inheritance that you have. But you couldn't pick your parents. You couldn't pick your forefathers. You couldn't pick what was going to happen to you any more than they could. But you can choose now to hate iniquity. Hate wickedness. Hate anything evil. Hate anything that won't be in heaven. Hate it. Hate rejection. Hate being rejected. Hate anything. Just choose. If we leave here tonight with nothing more than choosing to hate what God hates, you've really won. You really got your whatever you gave in the offerings worth. And more. So, I think we're starting this off so you'll know this isn't kidding. I think there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians and really did get born again to some degree in hell. I think that's really sad. And I think there were a lot of false prophets, according to what we just read in Matthew, who didn't tell them that it matters what kind of fruit is in their life. So I'm telling you, it matters. The kind of fruit in your life will determine if you're allowed to minister around here. Not if you speak in tongues and act all spiritual. Not if you dance. Not if you can do cartwheels in the Holy Ghost down the aisle. What will matter around here is that you have fruit in your life. And I don't even believe any other stuff is real until I see the fruit in your life. Because many will say on that day, didn't we do these spiritual things? And He'll say, you are a worker of iniquity. Lawlessness is still in your heart. Wickedness is still in your heart. And you're not entering into the kingdom. Does that mean they don't get in heaven? It sounds like it. Some people play around with this. Maybe they just don't get to get in the kingdom down here and they get to be saved. I hope it's true. But I wouldn't bet my life on it. And what's wrong with somebody who doesn't want to live for their Lord? It's iniquity, folks. Hate it. Tonight we're setting up a foundation of hating iniquity. If God says you are to act a certain way and you don't want to act that way, then you need to realize you got an issue and you act that way until everything lines up and the devil loses.